your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Good afternoon, David Britton from the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, yeah. Seem to have got through most of the winter without anything too severe, but I guess it's not quite over yet.
Well, it's spring.
David, do you get a little bit extra bummed out more than normal people when it's a little bit rainy and cloudy and you can't see the stars?
It doesn't have to be raining to not see the stars. They're just cloud, and that's quite a big thing for Auckland.
Mm.
Yeah, it depends. If you get to know a site, you can learn, because I mean, if you're going to start a bit later, you learn a bit more about what actually happens to the sky at night.
Right.
It's not the same as what happens in the daytime. Over at Stardome, for instance, it's quite frequent that it'll be cloudy after sunset, which is disappointing and frustrating. But quite often, around 11 o'clock or a bit after that, it'll clear up. And some of the locals have a theory that it's to do with particulates from the factories around Penrose, that that they leave the fine material in the atmosphere, which means you get moisture condensing around that, which makes cloud. But then that gradually clears, and so by 11 o'clock midnight, it's clear, and you get like a 2 or 3 hour window of clear skies.
What time is the Stardome generally open to for the public?
If it's a clear night, it can be open till 10:30, maybe 11. It depends on how things are going, and you know how many people are there. It more often than not is that the visitors want to get home. but yeah, it doesn't go on and on right through till like midnight or anything like that, unless it's a special evening.
Of course.
I'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later, actually.
Yes. What are we talking about? Apollo 11?
Well, yeah, you sort of thought that was all done and dusted, but not quite, because there's a movie which they describe as a cinematic event. So it's not a movie with actors at all. It's a documentary in the sense that the whole thing is made from footage from the time. So that's film footage, TV, and so on, videos that were handheld on board. But it starts right at the very beginning when the astronauts are in the preparation room before they even get to the rocket, and goes right through to after splashdown and when they're in quarantine and having ticker tape parade in New York. So they've digitized, because it was all film in those days, of course, there's no digital cameras.
Which was the style at the time.
So they've digitized it all. They found a whole bunch of 65mm film footage that had not been digitized, and so they were able to use that. Probably the best way to describe the movie was, because I'm not a very good film reviewer or critic, one reviewer referred to it as, it's not so much the information you absorb when you're watching the movie. What's probably more important or significant is simply the experience of watching and hearing it. The soundtrack is really, really good. A little loud for my ears, I have to say, but you know, you get a good idea of the impact of the force required to achieve what they did. You know, these rockets were absolutely incredibly powerful, and you get a feeling for that from the soundtrack. Even docking, which, you know, is in the silence of space, you're inside a tin can hitting another tin can, and so you're going to actually hear the clunk and the click of the locking mechanisms as they rendezvous.
But wouldn't that be like, is that like aftermarket, like Foley, or is that the actual sound of that happening?
This is the actual audio.
How do you get the actual audio of that if space doesn't make a sound?
As far as I'm aware, no Foley at all.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and again, when you, like at the beginning, you realize, okay, you're in the prep room and there's astronauts getting ready and they're having their suits put on. And then you suddenly become, wait a minute, this is these aren't actors, this is actually Armstrong, Aldrin and Collins in the flesh, as they were, because they had, you know, they followed them the whole way. But then you also see from the point of view of at mission control, so the reactions and the tension on the faces of the people in mission control during the whole 8 days.
Right.
And then you've got the press room, because, I mean, the press was just absolutely hundreds of them with all sorts of movie cameras, TV cameras, and so on. And then the general public. At the launch, for instance, so they reckon there was about 1 million people watching.
Wow.
Out of Cape Canaveral. And, of course, many millions more watching on TV. I was really impressed. I mean, as I said, probably the best thing is just to experience it. Now, I don't think it's quite on general release at movie theaters just yet. I think it's coming up shortly, like the end of the week. But where I saw it was at the IMAX theater in Queen Street. They had it there for 4 days.
Mm.
And there's a couple of other boutique cinemas like Lido and Rialto had it, but they had different times that I didn't really want to go to. So I saw it at the IMAX theater. And I was really impressed. It's 90, an hour and a half, so you get your money's worth. You know, if people can get to it, I'd really recommend it.
Highly recommend it, yeah. Nice one.
The soundtrack, by the way, because there is music added, no, yep. It's not just the sound of the time. There is a soundtrack with actual music composed. But the instruments used are all from 1969, so electronic instruments like the Moog synthesizer and things like that. So it's authentic from that point of view.
I have to check it out. I love that stuff.
Now, in other space news, the Indian lunar orbiter and lander have separated as they sort of circled the moon.
Yeah, well, this is the Indian mission that is taking the slow boat to the moon that will have finally got there. And the orbiter that's going to stay around, orbiting around the moon, has separated from the part that's landing. Mm. So that's the first step. They've got a successful separation. Remember, this is unmanned. This is a robotic mission. So on Saturday, the 7th, it'll be the lander part will be going down to the surface. It'll be landing near the South Pole.
Mm.
And if it's successful, there will be not just the first for India, successful landing on the moon, but the fourth in the world after the Soviet Union, the United States and China.
Yes. Now, David, just when this lander lands on the South Pole of the moon, is it going to be good for a couple of hours while the sun's up, but then does it freeze up and it's done?
It will freeze up, but it's not a couple of hours. Remember, day on the moon is 2 weeks.
Okay.
I did actually say that to you, John.
So, as soon as about 4 hours after it lands successfully, hopefully, fingers crossed, there's the rover called Pragyan, which will go out and weighs 27 kilograms. So that'll roll down a little ramp onto the surface and have a look around. So, yeah, they've got a bit under 2 weeks to have a good look around.
Okay.
It'll actually sort of shelter during the middle of the day when the sun's highest because it's a bit hot. Mm. But they aim to get quite a bit of work done. And being down South Pole, the reason they're doing that is because in their first mission, they detected water ice when they crashed a spacecraft in a crater there. And so the idea is to get down on the surface and check out the content of the water ice that might be in the rocks there.
Nice. Now, what's the night sky doing at the moment, David? Not that we can see
cloud,
it at the moment.
Cloud and rain, but aside from that, the two planets, Jupiter and Saturn, are out nice and bright after sunset. But the moon's going to pass by quite close to them between the 6th and the 9th of September. And on, in fact, the 9th at 3 in the morning, it'll go really, really close to Saturn. If we were living over at Perth, we'd see it cover the moon. It's called an occultation. We had that happen for us on the 12th of August last month. But we're just going to miss it this time. But it gets very close. And so maybe a photo opportunity for people who want to, use a bit of the advanced features on their camera.
Nice one. Nice. Now, Stardome, what is happening at Stardome?
At Stardome, we've got a new show which starts this month. It's starting on Saturday. It's on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturdays and Sundays, so each weekend, for children. So when one of our most popular shows is the Evening Night Sky, which is for adults. It shows the night sky on the night that you attend. And in the planetarium, there are no clouds, so you get a good view, and the presenter will talk about what you can actually see. This is a kids' version of that. So on the Saturday or Sunday afternoon, you can go along and see what the sky is going to be that night in the coming week. It's aimed at and pitched for children. So that's $10 for children to go along. If the family goes along, to adults and three children, is only $40.
Amazing. Buzz out the kids, eh? Buzz them out. I imagine the tiny little minds get hella blown.
Yeah, well, you don't just look at the stars, though. They'll actually get a fly out to some of the planets and have a look at them a bit up close as well.
Just a casual fly out to the planets.
Yeah, yeah.
No big deal. Cool. Awesome. David, look, it's always a pleasure, mate. Thank you so much.
Okay, catch you later.
Right on.
See you later.
Okay,
bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.